just to do a little mini recap, I spoke on who is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't a feeling. The Holy Spirit isn't just this kind of force or mystical power that operates in and around us, but the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is the third person in the Godhead. We have God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. And they work together in unity, in relationship, one God, three persons. And the Holy Spirit has always been in operation. The Holy Spirit wasn't for all of eternity just playing pool up in heaven or something like that, and then suddenly comes down to earth when Jesus returns in the New Testament. But the Holy Spirit has always been active, has always been here, has been anointing people, has been moving, has been convicting people, has been doing the work of God throughout all of creation. The Holy Spirit was there at creation. But the Holy Spirit has a special and specific function within the Godhead, and the Holy Spirit has a specific role and function right here, right now. And that main function is to empower the church, to empower you to live a holy life, and to anoint the church, to anoint you for service, so that you can serve God not in human strength, not via human wisdom, not in a human capacity, but the Holy Spirit anoints the people of God so that they are enabled supernaturally to serve God and to carry out the will of God, to know the will of God here on earth. And so the Holy Spirit is deeply personal, and he wants to get personal with us. And so today I really want to focus in on how do we live in relationship with the Holy Spirit, because it's through our relationship with the Holy Spirit that we actually come into relationship through Christ with the Father. But we need to walk in relationship with the Holy Spirit and learn how to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, not so it benefits us. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but the Holy Spirit didn't come so you can live a cushy, wonderful, powerful, amazing life, even though that is a byproduct, not the cushy part, but the amazing part. You can live the greatest life you've ever lived with having a partnership with the Holy Spirit and walking in the power and friendship with the Holy Spirit. But he has come so that you can be activated in God's kingdom. And so last week we talked about when we come to Christ, the Holy Spirit regenerates us. When we confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, when we come to God through the act of repentance, the Holy Spirit comes on the inside of us, and Jesus uses this language, one must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. One must be born of water and the Spirit to see and enter the kingdom of God. So the Holy Spirit comes into the life of the believer and cleanses us, renews us, makes us holy. In Romans chapter 8, verses 9 to 11, it says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ, who is the Holy Spirit, does not belong to him." So we must have the Holy Spirit working within us, dwelling within us to be in Christ. We actually cannot be a Christian. We cannot be in relationship with God without the work of the Spirit within us. Verse 10, "But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him, the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit, will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you." So the Holy Spirit regenerates the life of the believer. We become a new creation. We may look around and we don't necessarily look like a new creation. We still get old, our joints get sore, and we will eventually experience a physical death. But internally, our spirit becomes renewed. We experience the new creation work of God within us, and we all know that our hope is there is a day approaching, either when we get to heaven or Jesus returns, that we experience the new creation, not just internally, not just spiritually, but physically as well. It's good news, right? We get to live forever. That is good news. And we don't get to live forever in some little kind of like ghostly body that's just floating around, but the Bible talks of a final resurrection. The final new creation work will happen in the future. It's the plan of God for all of us. So the Holy Spirit regenerates the believer. The Holy Spirit anoints the believer. And we talked about 2 weeks ago that throughout the Old Testament, we see the Holy Spirit anointing individuals for a specific role or a specific task, whether they were a prophet, a king, or a priest, or just simply a worker to carry out a specific task. But we know the promise has been fulfilled through Christ that in the last days in which we live and breathe here today, the Spirit will be poured out on all flesh. We all will receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We are all endowed with the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 verse 8, Jesus says to his disciples, "But you will receive power." He says, do not do any work. Go wait in Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." You will be my advocate. You will be my representatives here on earth, in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so there is a promise in Scripture that has been fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, and we get to partake in that fulfillment where the anointing of God can be upon us in power so that we can be true servants of the living God. So we can bring heaven to earth, so that we can do the work of Christ here on this earth. But we have to have the right motive when it comes to desiring the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, "You will receive my power, not so that you can see increase personally in your world, even though that may be a byproduct. You will receive power so that you will be my representatives, so that you will be my witnesses." So the Holy Spirit regenerates the life of the believer. We become spiritually a new person in Christ through the work of the Spirit. We receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And towards the end of the message, we'll kind of pivot and talk about how we walk in this power. How do we receive this power? Is it automatic? What needs to happen? Do I have this power? I feel a little powerless. What do I do? We'll talk about those things. And then thirdly, the Holy Spirit enables the believer to have an unrestricted access or closeness to the Father. So we are able to come into relationship fully with God. The prophet Jeremiah spoke these words to Israel. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." In other words, Israel had not experienced this. But there is a time coming where God's people would experience this. "And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me. For I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more." Now, the prophet Jeremiah spoke this to Israel, but we know Jesus Christ fulfilled this promise. When Jeremiah says, I will forgive their iniquity, we know that that was Christ who brought forgiveness for God's people through the work of the cross. Jesus was an Israelite. His apostles were Israelites. And we have been through the extension of the gospel, those of us who aren't Israelites, we've been grafted in. We get to participate, we get to partake in the fulfilled promises given to Israel through the work of Jesus Christ, who was the true Israel, who was the true Israelite. And he brought salvation, he brought forgiveness, and he brings us into a relationship with God through the regenerative work of the Spirit. So, when talking about living in the power of God, the power of the Spirit in our lives has to flow out of a relationship with the Spirit. It has to flow out of a relationship with God. Otherwise, we can just end up desiring the gift of God or the power of God for our personal purposes and benefits. And we've seen that end poorly time and time again throughout history. We have to have a desire to serve the kingdom. Otherwise, the power of God is pointless and useless in your life. We will misuse it and abuse it. So let's talk about this relationship, and we started to talk about it 2 weeks ago. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. We read these verses, so I'll just skip through. I'll move fastly through them this morning, and we'll continue on in Paul's letter to the Ephesians here. So Ephesians 1, verse 13. This is the Apostle Paul pleading with the church, writing to the church, praying for the church. And you also, he speaks to us. So when we read this letter to the church, written some 2,000 years ago, let's read it through the lens that it's been written to us. These words are being spoken to us. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked with him, a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. That's what we talked about. When we come to believing faith in Christ, when we come to Christ and we receive him as our Lord and Savior, when we come to the truth and we receive that salvation, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit starts to work within our lives, regenerating us, cleaning us, cleansing us, making us holy before God. Verse 14, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in other words, Paul is saying, ever since I heard of your salvation and your love for God's people, ever since I heard of your salvation and that you had become a part of God's people, become a part of the church, I, Paul is saying here, have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Everyone say, know him better. The New Testament, I said this 2 weeks ago, the New Testament is constantly drawing us into a place that God wants us to live. It's all about knowing God. It's all about knowing his will, knowing his nature, knowing his character. And the Holy Spirit brings us into that understanding through a supernatural work of revelation where our hearts are open, our minds are open. When Jeremiah the prophet said the law would be pressed upon your heart, he's talking about the law is no longer a set of rules that are to be read and adhered to, but the law is to become part of who we are. The law is an understanding of who God is, God's nature. And when that revelation increases in our life, we can't help but be obedient. It's not like we need, oh, the law says this, so I won't do it. The law says this, so I will do it. It's like the law becomes impressed in us. It becomes a part of our DNA. We know what to do. It's not like it becomes something, it's not just a labor. It's not just a chore. It's not something I have to do that because God said. No, because God's word becomes a part of us. God's nature becomes a part of us. His very essence becomes our essence. And we live for God out of a relationship, out of a revelation, out of a love, out of an understanding. Jesus said, just as I, Jesus, and the Father are one, the church and I become one. We become one with the Father through Christ because of the work of the Holy Spirit. And we get to know who God is. We get to understand what He wants. So when in our day-to-day lives, when we're making decisions, when we're making plans, there's a way in which we can live. There's a way in which we can walk. There's a relationship we can have with the Spirit that we are constantly looking through a different lens. We are operating out of a different understanding, a different revelation. So those day-to-day decisions, we understand the will of God. We understand the purposes of God, and it shapes our behavior. It shapes our decision-making. And often when we're making bad decisions and we have bad behavior, it's because we've come out of step of that relationship with the Holy Spirit. We're not walking with the Holy Spirit, and we start walking in a different track. We'll come back to Ephesians shortly, but if we just turn our Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, Paul reiterates this reality over and over again to the church in his letters. We have to understand that the Apostle Paul, he's shaping the theological framework of the early church, which isn't just for the early church, but is for us today. He's writing these letters, and he's building a structure of how Christians are to live and operate and what they have access to. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, it's kind of similar, right? He's speaking to the Ephesians. Now he's speaking to the church, the Colossians here. Since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will. Notice Paul doesn't pray. We continually ask God that you would do what God says. He doesn't say we continually ask God that you would study the law, know the law, and abide by the law. The Apostle Paul, time and time again, has this deep prayer for the church that you would know God's will, you would know God's nature, you would know God's love, and you would live out of that. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. It's the Holy Spirit that brings this understanding. It's the Holy Spirit that opens our mind, that causes our hearts to be enlightened to the things of God. So that, the Apostle Paul says here, this is the purpose of it. This is why we would have this wisdom. This is why we would have this knowledge. This is why we would walk in this power. So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened in all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. There's so much there, and we could spend hours just unpacking each of these little bits. But just to give a very brief summary to this passage of scripture that Paul writes to the church. A deep relationship with the Spirit causes us to know God in a deeper way, to know His will, to know His purposes, to live fruitful lives, where because of this relationship, because of this knowledge, it results in fruitfulness. It affects our behavior. It affects our relationships. It affects our speech. It affects our decision making, and our lives become more fruitful as a byproduct. Fruit is always a byproduct. You can try your hardest to make good decisions. You can try your hardest to be obedient to the law of God. You can try your hardest to serve God. You can try your hardest to be a good person, but you will keep coming up against a wall. It's the wall of your own flesh. It's the wall of your own limitations, the wall of your own humanness. These things have to be a fruit. It has to be a byproduct of our relationship with God. And a byproduct is we begin to walk in His power. So if we go back to Ephesians now, chapter 1 again, and we continue reading from verse 18, and Paul basically is just saying the same thing again. It's like Paul just says the same thing, but in a slightly different way. Why? Because we're dumb. We're stupid. The scripture needs to say the same thing over and over again in a slightly different way, from a slightly different angle. Of course, because it's rich, it's deep, it's full. There's so much to it, but we are pretty thick as well. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. The Apostle Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your hearts may be enlightened in order that you may know. There's that word again, know. I said this 2 weeks ago. I've said it multiple times. I will continue to say it over and over and over. We have put way too much emphasis on hearing from God. The emphasis on the scripture is about knowing God. Yes, we can hear from God, but the emphasis is to know God, and we operate because that know is relational. So when we talk about hearing from God, sometimes we disconnect God speaking to us from our actual relationship. Because when we talk about hearing, the problem with that sometimes, the hearing comes from an external place. It's like God's out there speaking to us here. Knowing God, we operate out of an understanding, out of our relationship. In order that you, Paul basically never says that you would hear God clearer. He actually doesn't really say that. He always talks about from a level of knowing, of being connected to God in relationship. In order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, to know the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and to know His incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same mighty strength that He, the Spirit, exerted when He raised Christ Jesus from the dead and seated Him at the right hand of God in the heavenly realms. Far above every rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but also the one to come. That you would know that power of the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the grave, from rotting death, and brought Him back to life and carried Him in the cloud like prophesied in Daniel, and He was seated at the right hand of the Father, that power you would know. You would have an understanding of. Why have an understanding of it? So you can go talk about this power? No, so that we can live out of this power. Why would we live out of this power? So that we can serve God and be workers, fruitful workers in His kingdom. Okay. Thank you, babe. God wants you to know the life that you have been called to by Christ. God wants you to know that He wants you to do something significant for His kingdom. God wants you to know that the kingdom desires that may be seeded in your life, those desires to do something for God, Maybe you know what that is. Maybe you've got an idea of it. Maybe you have no idea, but there's just a desire to do something for God. That desire is not a pipe dream. That can be your full reality. He wants you to know that. He wants you to know the rich blessings that you have access to. He wants you to know that it is He who can resource you to be effective in His kingdom. He wants you to know who your supply line is. He wants you to know who your rewarder is. And He wants you to know the great power the Spirit has for you. A power that can strengthen you to do the work of God, to be the husband that you need to be, to be the wife, to be the mother, to be the father, to be the friend, to be the worker that you need to be. He wants you to know of this great power that the Spirit has for you so that you can operate in a supernatural capacity. You can operate in a heavenly wisdom. When you're in a negative environment, you can live in a positive headspace. When everyone else is tearing down, when everyone else is being mean, you can live in a different zone where you're unaffected by that meanness, where you're unaffected by that lack of kindness, because you're living in the power of the Spirit. You're walking with the Spirit. You are the one that can bring breakthrough into situations. You're the one that can turn around environments. You're the one that can change negative atmospheres. You're the one that can bring God into any situation. Why? Not because you can summon God at your will, but because God lives and dwells on the inside of you. You can bring the power of the Holy Spirit with you into any room, any back alley, any school, any workplace. He wants you to know of the power that can destroy the work of the enemy. He wants you to know the power that can push back darkness. The powers of evil that try to destroy, that try to rob, that try to steal, that try to fracture. He wants you to know that you have a power within you that's greater than those powers. You can be a force of light in a world of dark. He wants you to know that you don't have to run and hide, that you don't have to form a little community where you can shelter yourself from the world, but that you can be in the world and be the light in the darkness. So how do we walk in relationship with the Spirit and walk in this power? Ephesians 5, verse 15. Paul continues in this letter and he says, look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. In other words, look at what you do with your life, how you construct your world. Verse 16, making the best use of your time because the days are evil. In other words, Paul is saying, you have to look at your world. You have to look at how you're spending your time, of where your desires are, of where you're putting your energy and your resource and your effort. What's stealing? What has most of your attention? What has your heart? Paul's saying you need to be able to step back and look at your life and do a stock take. And we need to do this time and time again, sometimes daily, weekly or monthly, depending on what place we're in, but we need to look at our life. What are we doing with our lives? What has our attention? Is there things that are stealing our time or our time is being used for things that are of no benefit to the kingdom of God? Therefore, Paul says, do not be foolish, but understand. You can understand. You have access to this level of knowledge. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what is the purpose of you living and breathing on this planet. Why are you here? What's the purpose? When you get to the end of your physical life and you look back along your life, What are you going to be glad that you did and didn't do? Don't wait until the end. Look at your life right now. How are you living? How are you spending your time? Verse 18, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. You cannot do this without the power of the Spirit. You will be weaker without the power of the Spirit. You will be more useless without the power of the Spirit. You'll be more disappointed with your life without the power of the Spirit. You'll look back one day and without the power of Spirit, you will have regrets that you didn't serve God like you really wanted to. Because true meaning, true purpose, the richest life that we can have is a life where we are partnered with God, that we are working with God to build his kingdom. It's the most glorious life we can live. And that comes in many shapes and forms. Doesn't mean we have to go out and be a missionary. Even being a mum is building the kingdom of God. Raising our children in a godly environment. Being a witness in our workplace. Not necessarily preaching the gospel, but living with integrity. Living with high morals. Living a certain life that is exemplary. Those things are building the kingdom of God. Being generous with our money, being generous with our words, being generous with our time is all building the kingdom of God. Okay, let's finish on this. I'm just skipping bits and pieces here. How does, this is the question. This is the golden question. Within a way, many different answers. How does a person receive the Holy Spirit? Or how is a person filled with the Holy Spirit? Let's just talk about receiving the Holy Spirit. Let's just talk about the initial receiving of the Holy Spirit to begin with. And I mentioned it before. Remember the words of Jesus when he's speaking to Nicodemus. The Pharisee, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. There needs to be a spiritual birth. And I talked about it 2 weeks ago. What does it mean to be born of water and the Spirit? Now there's kind of different kind of takes on this, but one scholarly take on this is water is a picture of conversion. So the Jewish people knew that kind of conversion involved a ritual cleaning. A person had to be kind of washed, like there was still like kind of this ritual of washing of sins even in the Old Testament. They had to be washed from their old culture if they were going to become part of the Jewish family. So water is this idea of conversion, but Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, washing with water is not enough. It's not enough to simply be converted, to simply say, I want to be part of this. I want to believe in Jesus. There needs to be a supernatural work that goes with that, because the new covenant is a supernatural new creation covenant. And so Jesus is saying someone has to, yes, be converted, but also be born again. Be regenerated by the Spirit. In Acts chapter 19, we have this weird story that where the Apostle Paul is traveling through a certain region, I think in Ephesus, and he comes along 12 disciples, not the 12 disciples, just another 12 disciples, who along his way. And he has this bizarre interaction with them. They were disciples of John the Baptist. They believed in God. They were waiting for the Messiah. They had heard the news the Messiah had come. They were all for the kingdom. Like they are G'd up to be servants of God. They are all in, these guys. But there's this weird thing, that this weird conversation that Paul has with them. We'll read it from Acts 19, verse 1. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and they said to him, And he said to them, so this is Paul saying to these disciples of John the Baptist who had heard about Jesus, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? When you believed, remember, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Believed, converted. Remember, water, born of water and the Spirit. Believed, water, Holy Spirit. So we kind of see it playing out here. When you believed, in other words, when you believed in Jesus, like it's a weird question, right? When you believed in Jesus, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And they said to Paul, no, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And Paul said, into what then were you baptized? Immersed. They said, into John's baptism. Remember, John came baptizing in the wilderness in the Jordan River. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, conversion. I keep losing my spot here. John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling people to believe, there's that word again, in the one who was to come after him being John the Baptist, that is Jesus. On hearing these words, so it's like it just clicked. These words that Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, it's almost like yes, it's not just about believing. It's about receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. Is about becoming a new creation, becoming truly cleansed, truly holy, truly a person of God. So on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, which was probably in water. And then Paul laid his hands on them. The Holy Spirit came on them and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. Now, there's kind of two important things here. What's my time? I've got 6 minutes. It always happens. I want to ask an important question. So there's receiving the Holy Spirit initially. And for some people, maybe many, I have no idea, that moment of conversion and receiving the Holy Spirit is the same time. But I wonder if there's a group of people who are like these disciples that met Paul along the road and they believe in Jesus, but for whatever reason, they've stopped at belief and they haven't stepped beyond that. And there hasn't been a regenerative work of the Holy Spirit. There hasn't been that spiritual empowerment that has taken place in their life. And maybe you're here this morning and you're feeling like that. I believe in Jesus. I can't even really remember a time when I really kind of just that moment that I received Jesus and I received his power. Thanks, Maddie. Good pickup. Matt's coming on. Matt's wrapping it up. I better jump up on stage and play the guitar, create some mood music here. Maybe for you, this is really important. Maybe for you that, I believe in Jesus, but I actually feel powerless. I feel like I love God, but for whatever reason, I don't know, I feel like there's something missing. And it's not to say that you're not a Christian. Like, I'm not willing to go that far at all. But like, just if you were to be honest with yourself, there's a sense that just there's something missing. There's something missing. And so without getting too over the top with these sorts of things. And I know there's some people that there's one idea that, we're a Christian and then there's a point of time where we're fully baptized in the Holy Spirit and they're always two events. I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. But what I do know, I've met enough people who love God and believe in God and believe in Jesus, but there's something missing for them. And so I want to pray for you this morning. If you just feel like there's something missing, and we're going to pray like Paul prayed for these disciples. Like, he went and baptized them in water straight away. I don't think we can do that here today. Easter Sunday, we've got baptisms though. If you've never been baptized in water, seriously, let's get this done. But Paul prays for them and they receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And we want to do that for you today. So let's just stand to our feet. And then beyond that, we all need to just live, and I don't have enough time to continue to teach on this, but we all need to be refilled. Like Paul said in his letter to the Ephesians there, remember in chapter 5, that be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. He wasn't talking about the first time, like this, something that we need to continually come back to God, come back into our alignment with the Holy Spirit and be refilled. Like we all, like we've heard it said before, we all leak. You know, we all get distracted. We all kind of get sidetracked, and we kind of live in a way where we come out of alignment. So that refilled is becoming realigned with the Holy Spirit, re-energized in our relationship with God, re-empowered for the service that God has for us to do. Let's just close our eyes. If you're here this morning, maybe you've never come to that point of belief, and then you can come up as well and would love to pray for you. But we're just going to go into a time of worship right now. And just if you would like prayer, we would love to pray with you this morning. If you're just simply unsure, I don't know if I've actually been filled with the Holy Spirit. If you've got a sense that just something's missing in your life, like just, and the way sometimes you can tell this is like just life, like life is just constantly spiritually hard for you. Like it just seems like there's just constant friction. It's a constant grind. You seem to have to strive so much in your own strength and capacity just to live as a Christian. If you would like prayer this morning, we would love to lay hands upon you and believe with you this morning that you would be filled with the Holy Spirit.